We're Lancer Radio, streaming live at lancerradio.org. This is Dot Cannon. Rachel Fine is the executive director of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, and she uses classical music as an educational tool to make a difference. We've just been talking about the campus to concert hall all-access pass for students, ages 17 to 30. And Rachel, I understand that there's going to be a concert happening in Pasadena this Saturday night for which people could use that pass.
Exactly. We actually have two concerts coming up this week, and the first is at Ambassador Auditorium, which is right around the corner for PCC students, and then our second concert, it's the same program, is at UCLA Royce Hall. And the concert is featuring two wonderful guest artists. We haven't worked with either one of them, so they will be making their Laco debut this weekend. The first is a wonderful French cellist. His last name is Keras, and he will be playing the Haydn C major cello concerto. And I heard him do this actually a couple of years ago as a part of the USC Piatigorsky Cello Festival when they brought in, I think, 26 cellos from all over the world. And we immediately gravitated toward him and invited him to come and make his debut with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. So he's one of the featured guest artists. The other is a very special singer, a mezzo-soprano named Lori Rubin. And Lori grew up in Los Angeles and was actually in high school a winner of the Spotlight competition that the Music Center does. What makes her particularly unique is that she's blind and has been blind since birth. And she is working with a composer who is not new to Laco named Bruce Adolph. And they're doing a work that they collaborated on called Do You Dream in Color? And this is based on the writing of Lori Rubin. And so Bruce Adolph has set much of her text of the book. And it's, I think, a 20-minute work that they will be doing with Laco as a part of this program.
What's really fun about that is I've seen her lyrics on your website, and she writes like a designer because she is, isn't she? She's a jewelry designer.
Yes, she is. In fact, we will be displaying many of her necklaces as a part of the concert presentation.
And she talks about the ways in which she sees color as somebody who was born blind and sees only white light with her actual physical eyes. That should be incredible.
I think it's going to be very, very special. And in addition, she just has an exquisite voice. So it's going to be wonderful to put her voice on display with the orchestra.
Let's talk about the logistics of the campus to concert hall all-access pass. Suppose somebody gets one.
Yes.
What do they need to do in order to make that work for them?
Usually they just need to give the office a call and say, I would like to use my all-access pass, and we will get tickets for them and put them at will call. So it's as easy as just picking up the phone or sending an email saying, I'd like to use my all-access pass.
Let's tempt people a little bit. Besides this incredible show that's going to be happening this weekend with Lori, what's the November show coming up with Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra?
Also a really great show. We have a guest conductor, again, who's never worked with us. His name is Hans Graf. He was the longtime music director of the Houston Symphony. So world-renowned, Austrian by birth, and he will be leading the program. And the guest is actually an Italian pianist, very young, who just won a couple of very big competitions. And he will be playing Mozart on that program. So we're very excited to be working with both of them. And one of our music director's great talents is actually identifying young talent. And he's done this repeatedly. He's brought wonderful young talent to Laco, and they've ended up having great careers. So Elisa Weilerstein, the cellist, is one of them. Long made his debut with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra many, many years ago before having the world-renowned career that he has. But the list goes on and on. So I think Alessio Bax, the Italian pianist who's coming, may fall squarely into that category. I think we're all expecting him to have a really great, illustrious career.
What's one of your absolute favorite experiences from working with some of this new young talent that's coming in?
Well, it's just really interesting to see a career beginning to shape up. Many of them are already so talented. We had a wonderful violinist when we opened our season named Benjamin Beilman, and he's a Avery Fisher Grant winner. He's in his early 20s, and Jeffrey Kahane had him do two very different works on the program. And it's not often that someone is invited to do both a Mozart violin concerto, but also he did a big work called Chain 2 by Ludoslavsky. It was extremely difficult. So wonderful to see the way that his career is beginning to take shape and how his talent is blossoming. But this was an extremely demanding program that he pulled off seemingly without a whole lot of effort, but it was great.
That blows me away when you see a classical musician, and you probably did that yourself when you were performing, just make it look like you're just sitting there talking and breathing. I don't know how in the world you do that.
Well, I think that's part of the job, is that you make it seem effortless.
What has been one of the more challenging things that you have had to do as executive director of Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra?
Well, that's also a really good question. The orchestra industry in general is just not doing very well right now. So there have been a lot of orchestras over the last 5 or 6 years that have filed for bankruptcy or that have had to do some serious trimming in terms of the artistic product that they have. So it's been actually a pretty disheartening time. I think LACO is actually one of the success stories. We've been able to remain robust in terms of our artistic programming, in terms of our finances. We have an extremely dedicated board and staff. So I'm really proud to say that we've been able to do quite well during the last few years. And of course, we have a very generous group of donors that have made that possible. But because of the way the orchestra business model is structured, many orchestras rely on a lot of contributed income. The ticket sales just don't cover the costs of what it takes to put on an orchestra production, and particularly professional orchestras. All of the musicians are union members, and our halls, you know, all the fixed costs add up to a lot. And so ticket sales end up covering just about 25%. So we spend, as a staff, a good deal of time doing fundraising, and we have, fortunately, a very, very loyal base of donors and patrons. But in general, the orchestra industry has been extremely challenged, as many nonprofit organizations have during the economic downturn.
How, if at all, do you see that business model changing in the future as you continue to make music relevant to a 21st century digital generation?
Right. Well, I think everybody is asking themselves that question, and there are a lot of orchestras doing many different, really innovative things. So I think innovation is a huge part of that. We have to get out there and experiment, and we also have to be willing to fail, because that's the way we're ultimately going to make progress. I think also just having really strong artistic integrity. I think we have to really understand the value of what we do and not stray from that artistic integrity. But I also think we have to be better resources to our community. And that is really at the heart of our vision right now, is positioning ourselves as an indispensable community resource. And in fact, our board adopted our strategic plan yesterday, and that is the heart of our strategic plan, is being accessible to the community and being a resource to our community.
What are some of the experiments you will do with that in mind?
Well, one of the experiments we actually did recently was a wonderful community project called Play Me, I'm Yours. And we did this for the 15th anniversary of our music director, who is a pianist. We had 100 community partners, and we placed pianos all over Los Angeles in 30 different locations. And every piano was decorated. Every piano was easily accessible for 24 hours a day. And basically, it was a gift to the community of Los Angeles to enjoy music and for music to be accessible. And it was a very wonderful, successful project in so many respects. But that was one of the more innovative community-oriented projects that we did that was successful.
I saw those. They were absolutely gorgeous. You had one in Union Station.
We did.
You had one over in Old Town Pasadena.
Exactly.
It was incredible. We'll be back in just a moment. You and I are listening to Rachel Fine, Executive Director of Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. We'll be talking a little bit more about the Campus to Concert Hall All Access Pass and a little bit more about their future programs when we come back. This is Dot Cannon with Over Coffee on LancerRadio.org.